Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Father's Day sale right now at Ace.
Offers valid on select items through June 18th at participating stores only. See store for details.
Welcome in, Monday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way here on KGYM. An historic weekend in the world of sports. We'll talk about it. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with you as well. We got a terrific prize package from Dr. Pepper and the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and we'll give that away to someone before 4 o'clock today. It's all coming up, Gym Class, for a Monday, right here on KGYM. Hi, everyone, at 3:04. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class, your local programming getting underway here at KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, again today. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in and help us out on the program here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery. Third Base Brewery located at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Hope you made it out sometime during the weekend. Try one of their craft beers out there. And hey, if you can't decide on one, try them all. Maybe not at one sitting, but we recommend you try them all out there. Try one of their famous flights and sample all the best craft beer in Cedar Rapids. That is at Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. As I mentioned, we got a terrific prize pack we are going to offer this week to our listeners. It's a perfect Father's Day weekend, and we are going to give you an opportunity to go to Friday's Colonels home game. Now, you get, first of all, from our friends at Dr. Pepper, thank you, Steve Carter and everybody down the street, you've got a 24-pack of either regular or diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus a KGYM pint glass to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper with. And not only that, but we have a 4-pack of tickets behind home plate at this Friday's Colonels game, plus a party pack per person, which is very hard to say, Mark Dukes, a party pack per person.
But you did.
I did, twice. Good for a free meal of a sandwich, a side, and a drink at the game. Now, how did we get all this stuff? Well, the Twins were going to put together a trip this Friday with some folks. Something happened, didn't work. So they procured these terrific tickets. They were going to stop at the Field of Dreams, and they're going to do it some other time, but they had all this extra swag, so they called us and said, hey, could you use this? And we called Steve Carter, and I didn't. Carol did. And Carol said, hey, we got this. You want to put it together with your Dr. Pepper? And then we got a fantastic prize pack.
Wonderful.
So we will have that to give away today. There you go. Treat Dad to something for the Father's Day weekend, as that will be Friday at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field. By the way, Colonels fell today. They were swept by the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers over the weekend. So hopefully get back, get some home cooking, and get things rolling again as far as Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball is concerned.
So that's a 4-pack each day this week? Is that right?
I believe not Friday, because Friday is the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we will be sure to check that out. Kyle, check that out, okay? If it's if we've got the 4-pack each day. Carol will let us know about that. Dr. Pepper we've got each day this week, I believe. So we'll let you know about that. We'll let you know when to call. We welcome you in today. We're going to talk with Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. And we usually talk Major League Baseball on Tuesdays. We shifted things around a little bit this week because coming up tomorrow, looking forward to this, our friend Chris Atterbury, the host of the pre- and post-game show from the Minnesota Twins, he is going to be joining us tomorrow, as the Twins will start a road trip in Motown to take on the Detroit Tigers and former skipper Ron Gardenhire. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming up. We'll have the game tomorrow night and the game on Wednesday night for you, joined up at 7 o'clock after local programming. So we will talk with Chris. He's going to be on the road trip. Not sure if he's filling in for Corey, if he's filling in for the the dazzling one, Dan Gladden, but he will be with them. So we're going to talk with Chris from Detroit tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of interesting topics with the Twins, including guys that have been and are on the disabled list, what their status is, Byron Buxton in particular, Miguel Sano in a horrendous slump. There goes another slider, Miguel, that you missed. And what the prospects might lie ahead in the last 100 or so games. Twins not that far out of it, but need to play better baseball, more consistent baseball.
Nope, still in it. Still in it right now. So we will talk Chris Atterbury coming up, and we'll talk with Joe Sheehan coming up a little bit later on today. We start things off, a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports, and I think it was highlighted by the fact that I completed the hat trick of bad predictions over the weekend. Although you joined me in this one. This was your first clunker of the week last week. Congratulations to Justify as he wins the Triple Crown. Yes, he won it, but not so fast, my friends. Some of the other owners are calling shenanigans on Bob Baffert. Did you read this, Mark? Even though it was a wire-to-wire win, basically, by Justify.
I did, and I think it's silly, but continue.
Yes. Restoring Hope was the other horse that Baffert had in there. He was a 37-1 long shot as he left the gate at Belmont Park. Some are saying that he was only in the race to run interference and be kind of a horse chicane, if you will, for Justify. Granted, the jockeys are good. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not buying it out there. I think people are just kind of looking for a reason to hate on Justify a little bit. And I'm not really sure you can even make a horse. You can guide the horse a little bit. One of those situations. I'm with you. I'm not buying it either. I think Justify won it fair and square.
Let me put it in auto racing terms, Scott. Hendrick Motorsports, you think their teammates have never helped one another win a race?
Oh, they may have done
not
that.
Just Hendrick. Roush, you name the team. That's why they have teammates.
Correct. But this is a horse.
Same stable, same team. Justify was the best horse.
I would agree. I would agree. Even though I did not pick him to win the Derby, I was impressed. I was very impressed by the run he had at Belmont. Because, like you, I thought that he was going to be tired. I thought he was a little nicked up. And I thought by the showing at the end of the Preakness Stakes, it was going to be a different horse that came through. But, yeah, here we go.
I threw out Gronkowski on Friday. Thursday, was it? Thursday or Friday. He was second.
You did a good job.
Yeah. That was a long shot, yeah.
My horses, I think, are still running. At Belmont Park right now. So, no shenanigans is what you're saying about this. Nothing.
Well, maybe. Is it illegal?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But again, that's got to be hard to make a horse do that. I mean, you can guide the horse. I've been around horses. My sister, you know a little bit about horses. My sister, was around horses when she was young. And I was around them as very little as I possibly could. Because they have minds of their own, man. That's what I'm getting at. But I don't think there was anything to come under question as far as Justify.
319-366-1600. That's our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line as well. Kyle Mann, ready to take any and all calls today. I know people very close to me who know horses inside and out.
Oh, yeah.
But... yeah, I think they have a mind of their own, don't they?
Yeah, you can try to guide the horse. And granted, a well-trained thoroughbred is not like, the milk horse outside or whatever the case may be. But they still, if they don't want to go somewhere, they're not going somewhere, folks. I know enough about horses to know that. You're looking at the text line and laughing? Is that what it is?
One of my personal text lines.
Ah, okay. Very good. Very good. I bet I know who that's from. Does she also agree horses have a mind of their own?
Let's just say she said they are amazing animals. Okay?
Beautiful animal. And a beautiful animal.
8636 on the text line. As long as the other horses in the Triple Crown don't have to run all the races, then who can blame the potential Triple Crown winner for getting a little help?
I don't even know if he did get a little help. I watched the race again. I watched it several times now, and there's not, in my opinion, there's nothing there as far as blocking is concerned. I mean, Justify got out of there quick, and I thought he won it fair and square. I'm going to go with that. That's going to be my stance on this Monday, June the 11th. Enjoy the fact we have a Triple Crown winner. Right? Enjoy
Absolutely.
It. Just enjoy it.
My personal text line says, you guide the horses.
They're going, though. You guide them, but they have the ultimate.
They're going to go where you tell them to go.
Well.
Generally speaking.
Generally, but there are times when you want it to go that way, and it's not going to go that way.
Well, I suppose. A time or two, but
maybe I just wasn't persistent enough. 15 past the hour at 3 o'clock, but congratulations to Justify, first horse since American Pharoah to win the Triple Crown, as
each out of the Baffert stable,
absolutely, and the second one since the late 70s to get that done.
And Justify is going to continue to run this year, 6-0. In races, and you know, Seattle Slough and others have basically retired after winning the Triple Crown.
Correct.
But Justify is going to continue, and really, the fact that the horse did not race as a 2-year-old, got to believe it's maybe fresher than others. But we're going to see more of Justify the rest of the year.
There you go. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, and that is located on the Ped Mall, Hertina Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. We do have some breaking news here. We mentioned this a few weeks ago when it was put on the agenda for the Iowa High School Athletic Association at their next meeting, which was held today in Boone. And, ladies and gentlemen, we will have seating coming to the state wrestling tournament. And I will let you know what this says. Seating through digital tournament manager Track Wrestling is coming to the Iowa High School Athletic Association's wrestling tournament starting in 2019 by a unanimous decision Monday morning. The board approved Wrestling Advisory Committee recommendation to build brackets with criteria that seeds the top 8 wrestlers in each of the weight classes across the 3 classifications.
I like it because right now, it's a district champion against a district runner-up, and it's a different formula.
In
every
a formula,
year.
Yes.
But you know how districts go. You could have, you know, the number 1 and 2 ranked wrestlers in one district, and one of them has to lose, obviously. So that's a district runner-up going to face perhaps a weaker district champ.
It's happened every year.
It just makes sense.
Especially with the technology that we have now and all of the information, and basically every event, big event around the state is on Track Wrestling, is covered. And, you know, they use it to seed those particular tournaments on Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays. Why can't they do it for the state tournament? And I think that's what it's come down to. So, there you go. We're not going to have 1 versus 2 meeting in a quarterfinal or in a second round or in a semi anymore. It's going to be on. Does that take away from Friday night, though? A lot of people thought the semis were just as exciting as the finals.
I think they still will be. I think they still will be.
Let's just get 1 versus 4 and 2 versus mm-hmm. 3 in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's coming next year, 2019.
I think it's long overdue.
What do you think? Good? 319-366-1600. That is a text line. Wrestling fans out there, are you for this? as we will have seeded wrestling tournament starting in 2019. Let us know. I know there are a lot of folks that follow the world of wrestling out there. I'm going to talk to Joe Sheehan. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Golf over the weekend. We get ready for the United States Open Golf Championship that will get started at Shinnecock Hills on Thursday. Zach Johnson's going to go off very early. 6:51 Iowa time. He is going to go off in a group that includes Masters champion Patrick Reed along with Charles Schwartzel, correct?
Correct.
And yesterday, Dustin Johnson at the St. Jude Classic in Memphis not only won, not only became the number one in the world again as he overtook Justin Thomas, who held it for 2 weeks. Justin Thomas, by the way, ace photographer for Ricky Fowler's wedding proposal to his girlfriend over the weekend, if folks did not catch that. But Dustin Johnson is back as number one in the world. And how did he conclude winning that tournament? By dunking one on the 18th hole for an eagle. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't.
We
see
did not
that
do every, that over the weekend.
No, you don't see that every day for sure. And it'll be interesting to see how Dustin Johnson does this week. Shinnecock Hills is, you know, not for everybody. I read on CBS Sports they have a computer tracking deal that, you know, runs the tournament over several times. Guess who came out the winner the most times?
Justin Thomas.
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods.
I'm with Bob Herrig joined us on Friday, and if you'd like to go back and take in the podcast, go ahead, and we can invite you to do so at KGYMradio.com. I'm going on record, and I've been so good as of late. This is not a Tiger course, and Bob Herrig agreed with me. He doesn't believe this is a real Tiger course either. Long par 70, only two par 5s. You take a look at history here. Not a lot of big bangers have won. Ray Floyd, Corey Pavin, who is probably the shortest hitter on tour, and Retief Goosen, who's an average length guy off the tee at best. You got to put it in play at Shinnecock, and you have to put it in the right spot on the green, and you got to put it in. Now, granted, you can do that every week on the PGA Tour, but with the fairways, the width they are, and with knee-deep stuff awaiting you if you miss a fairway, it's going to bring in a lot of guys using a lot of long irons and some hybrids going into some greens.
7,400 yards, par 70. That's a lengthy golf course. Here are some of the odds that are out. Dustin Johnson, 8-1. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Rose, your guy, Scott.
I like Rosie.
14-1. Jason Day, 16-1. Jordan Spieth, 18-1. And then you have Tiger Woods and John Rahm at 20-1. Defending champion Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson, 25-1. Patrick Reed, the only man alive with a chance to win the Grand Slam this year, 30-1. Zach Johnson, not among those listed here. And it goes all the way down to Paul Casey and Bryson DeChambeau at 40-1.
We're going to talk more about that coming up on Wednesday. It's Caddy Smack. We will preview the U.S. Open. Brian Haas will join us. We'll take a look back at the last couple of weeks in the world of golf. Sad they didn't get the final round of the Principal Charity Classic in yesterday, but Des Moines was inundated, and they got it again last night overnight. Just torrential rains in Des Moines. Tom Lehman was given the championship after a 36-hole event, and I believe came in at 11 under par. So, like I said, too bad, because I know a lot of people were waiting to get over there. 319-366-1600. We got baseball super regionals going on right now. Texas has just advanced as they put away the stubborn Golden Eagles of Tennessee Tech. Hats off to them for taking Texas to the third and final game of a super regional. And so they all head on, and Duke and Texas Tech are playing right now, just getting underway.
Yep. Yet another year, the Big Ten will not have a team in the College World Series. Indiana was the last team to make it there. It's a difficult road. There's no question about it. But aside from Washington and Oregon State, this is going to be, once again, a Southern-dominated field.
Yep.
I mean, you got North Carolina, about the northernmost team among those left. But you know, folks have talked about the facility upgrades in the Big Ten and what have you, and it hasn't equated to more trips to the College World Series. I mean, is that the end all? I don't know. You know, but you would think if you're going to upgrade your facilities and get more more better players in, I don't think it just hasn't happened.
Hasn't yet. Hopefully improving on it, but has not yet.
I think Indiana, the only team from the Big Ten that in 2013, the only team from the Big Ten to make the World Series since 2005. It's a little bit of a drought.
319-366-1600. We're going to get to this after we talk with Joe Sheehan coming up, but if you like college football, we've got news for you. I mean, really, really like college football. We will have that for you coming up in just a little bit. 324, we're going to take a break, come back. Joe Sheehan is going to join us at the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. And we got some big National League Central Divisional Series coming up this week, including one starting tonight. So that'll be coming up. We'll talk about that with Joe and the world of baseball when we return after this. You're listening to the Gym Class Monday Edition here on KGYM.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Who's been named one of the 10 best burgers in Iowa? Burger Fiend. Their mouth-watering food is prepared with the highest quality ingredients right before your eyes. Every burger is created from 100% Angus beef that's ground fresh daily. And they serve hand-cut fries. Place your order, and your Burger Fiend burger is cooked to order. And you choose from 20 toppings, sauces, and add-ons to make it your own. Feed your inner fiend at Burger Fiend in the Old Springhouse building on Center Point Road, Cedar Rapids.
Can buying a used car feel like new? At Toyota of Iowa City, all used cars come with pre-owned continued care. That's 2 years of oil changes, tire rotations, multi-point inspections, and car washes with every service appointment, plus 10% off maintenance items. That's a new car experience for a pre-owned purchase. Shop today at ToyotaIowaCity.com or stop in to see us. Pre-owned continued care only at Toyota of Iowa City. It's what we do.
See dealer for details. When you play the City of Cedar Rapids municipal golf courses, Jones, Ellis, Gardner, and Twin Pines, you don't just get country club quality courses, you also get one heck of a deal.
Really?
From early bird to twilight, there's a special for every player's budget.
Sounds good.
And with faster play and excellent customer service,
I'd say that's a hole in one.
With four unique courses, there's always a tee time available. Play them all. Make your tee time and find all the deals at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
.327 back with you, Gym Class, here on a Monday. We're going to talk to Joe Sheehan coming up here in just a moment. We're talking about the baseball a little bit, college baseball, as Duke and Texas Tech are going at it right now. Texas is qualified for the College World Series for the 36th time. And I'm going to bring in Jim from Marengo, wants to comment about the Super Regionals. Jim, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, guys. I love watching this college baseball. I'm probably a little bit of a geek.
But that's all right.
I dig into their schedules, and I look at who they beat. And Coach Heller always says, you know, you got to consistently make the regionals, and then that 1 year, you get the right draw and you get hot. Well, Washington was like 30-24 going into the tournament, and their RPI was 63, which can't be a lot better than Iowa was this year.
Mm.
I think that's a good example right there. You just get the right draw and you get couple breaks go your way, and maybe the other team, the other side, gets upset.
No, you're right.
What does that take for a team like Iowa?
I mean, that's formula for everything, and obviously with the Pac-12, you're going to have a little bit higher rating. The Big Ten is getting better and better as far as baseball is concerned, seemingly year in and season out. But it's the Pac-12's got USC, they've got Arizona State, and they've got a lot of very good programs down in the Sun Belt right there. But that's probably what pushed it ahead.
And that's why I was surprised that the RPI was at 63. So I figured they'd be in the high 40s or something. But just something to think about.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for listening. 319-366-1600. Jim and Marengo joining us today.
You know, it's an interesting observation. Not a great record, not a great RPI. I think that's about where Iowa ended the season. And Washington had to be one of the last teams in the field. But, I mean, you get pretty good pitching and timely hitting, and sometimes that's all it takes.
Absolutely. Joe Sheehan set to join us right now. You can get his baseball newsletter, and we'll let Joe explain how you can sign up for that coming up here before we depart here on a Monday edition of the program. And happy June to you, Joe. How you doing?
Good, fellas. What's going on?
Well, we're hoping another team in the American League Central gets over the 500 mark, but I'm not sure it's going to happen.
No, it's not. I think at the start of the year, I might have had the Twins at 80 and 82. Obviously, they've had the Polanco suspension, the Buxton injury. Really, it's hurt their defense. It's been a big problem for them. The bullpen's not very good. I think that, I'm surprised to see the Tigers playing as well as they have. But no, this is – the Indians don't really have to be very good to win this division. They can kind of treat this as a four-month run-up to the division series. It should be a very good division in a couple of years, guys. The Twins should have better years than this. You've got the White Sox doing the best job of rebuilding anybody's done. Eventually, the Tigers and the Royals will catch up as well, but it's going to be ugly for a little while.
Although the White Sox, for some reason, are suddenly playing the best baseball they have all year, beating the Red Sox. So go figure.
It's going to be like the NBA where you've got so many teams trying to get the first draft pick. There's going to be a team that goes 66 and 96 and ends up having to draft like eighth next year.
Interesting matchup coming up tonight, game one, the Chicago Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers. And we've opined here that maybe Chicago is in Milwaukee's head.
I think the Cubs are square in the brains of the Milwaukee Brewers.
This is it could be a separation series, though, right?
Well, we still got 100 games to go, 4 games in June. We saw this last year where the Brewers actually – I want to say before the break, they did a number on the Cubs, and then they actually stretched their lead after the break to maybe 4.5, 5.5 games. Then down the stretch, and I think that's what you guys are referring to a bit, the Cubs were able to win a couple series and get some separation and eventually take the division. I think we're going to see that this year, too. The Cubs are the better team. The Brewers have gotten tremendous work out of that bullpen. They've actually dramatically upgraded the defense, guys. If you look at kind of the numbers we use for defense, the Brewers and the Cubs are the two best defensive teams in the league. The Brewers have come from the middle of the pack up. That's Arcia's development, even though he's not hitting, and that's the additions of Kane and Yelich. So they're getting a lot of extra runs on the margins, saving a lot of extra runs on the margins. But really, when you kind of dig in a little bit, you see that the Cubs just have the better frontline talent. So if the Cubs were to win this week, a 3-game series, 4-game series?
3, I believe, but I'm not positive on that.
So even if the Cubs were to win the series, I don't think it tells you anything mentally. I think it's the better team winning.
And then the Cubs head off to St. Louis for the weekend. The Cardinals, they're hanging around despite the injuries. Ozuna's starting to hit a little bit, but they're hanging around, only about 3 out right now.
Yeah, that rotation's been absolutely fantastic. You look at what they've gotten out of the kind of a comeback season for Michael Wacha after the shoulder problems he has. He's had Miles Mikolas, who's, if you remember when Colby Lewis came back from Japan for the Rangers, how important he was to those teams that won pennants in 2010 and 2011. That's the role Mikolas is playing for this team now. Obviously, the loss of Alex Reyes, it hurts their depth. I mean, the rotation has been good even without Reyes. But Reyes would have given them the option to put a Flaherty or a Weaver into a trade. So, we'll see how they manage this going forward. They've got to get the bullpen together. Holland's been a disaster. Bud Norris has shown up, but he's been working pretty hard. We'll have to see if he's able to keep pitching well. And the run up into that, you know, Jordan Hicks throws 105, but his strikeout rate is the strikeout rate of somebody that throws 85. So he's trying to slowly pull it together. I said at the start of the year, I thought they'd be the wild card with the Brewers, and I'll stand by that. I think in all of these cases, the rest of the year is going to be defined not just by the base talent, but what these teams bring in at the deadline and who ends up suffering some ridiculous injury.
Do I want to chew on the first release of the National League All-Star balloting? There's three for each league. The American League will be out tomorrow. Your leaders right now, Freddie Freeman at first base, Ozzie Albies at second, Nolan Arenado at third, Brandon Crawford at short, Buster Posey at catcher, top three outfielders, Bryce Harper, Nick Markakis, and Matt Kemp. I look at second base here, Joe. Albies is the leader, but not far behind are Javier Baez and Scooter Jeanette leading the National League in hitting. And a distant fourth is a hell of a player and has Drubal Cabrera. So who would you punch your ballot for?
I went with Albies, and I usually try to pick established veterans for the All-Star game, guys who are stars already. And I think I had Daniel Murphy last year, and of course Murphy hasn't played yet this year. He's supposed to come back this week. So you've got young players in Albies and Baez. I think that was where my choice came down to, was those two. I want to make the point here that you mentioned Freeman, Albies, and Markakis. Particularly in the early going, the voting tends to be driven by what team just had a homestand. Mm-hmm. Because the fans are going to the ballpark and getting that get-out-the-vote message. So this will change a little bit. And honestly, guys, I always feel like the fan vote never bothers me one way or the other. The fans aren't sitting there voting with fan graphs and prospectus and kind of reading all the analysis. The fans are voting based on who they want to see in the game. And, that's going to be driven a lot by attendance, what teams draw well, what teams market well. So I kind of always feel like the fan voting is whatever it is. I don't feel like there's a wrong answer the fans can come up with. Whoever wins the fan vote, you applaud. The player vote tends to be shaky, and then filling out the roster, there tends to be problems. But for me, guys, the fan vote is what it is.
Are you surprised Arenado has a 225,000 vote lead over Chris Bryant?
No, and without looking at the last week of scheduling, I believe the Cubs have been on the road. Well, I know the Rockies were home. So I think a lot of that is, just the early voting and who happened to, do the get out the vote. There's no even early season performance numbers that you can really say, hey, which player should be getting the vote. It really is driven just by, a get out the vote thing. They opened the vote, I want to say, 10 days ago. I want to say it was Friday last. So, this stuff's all going to change over the next month. We'll see what happens. But I don't, Arenado or Bryant, that's one of the toughest calls on the ballot. Bryant's better, but Arenado's a superstar. And I think people who don't see him regularly don't realize just how ridiculous a defensive third baseman he actually is.
Joe Sheehan joining us here in the Monday edition of the Gym Class. You mentioned the Washington Nationals getting healthier and healthier, and they are tied with the Braves right now at the top of the National League East, but they're going to get Murphy back. They just got Eaton back. My only hope is I've always followed Eaton. I just want to see him stay healthy for a while and see what he can do for the Washington Nationals.
So the one thing about the injury to Eaton is that it did eventually force them to call up Juan Soto. Oscar Robles was their top out prospect. He got hurt. Soto, who's 19 years old, is in the majors now, hitting .320. So it's one of those things where the injury might have created an opportunity for another star player. And, it's only 3 weeks he's been in the majors. We'll see how it goes. But I'm with you on Eaton. If you look at the Nationals offense, and he's been hurt, I mean, we're talking about like a 40-game sample here, but even go back to last year, and they averaged basically 6 runs a game when he was atop the order before he blew out his knee. So, even this year, he's just got that, he's a kind of prototypical leadoff man. He's not going to steal 50, 60 bases. Nobody really steals anymore, but he's going to get on base. He's got pop. He's going to run the bases for you. He's just such a critical guy for that offense. And I don't know what we're going to see out of Murphy coming back. There's been some question as to whether his knee is going to hold up at all. But I think the Nationals need Eaton a lot more than they need Murphy.
Rumors that Shohei Ohtani may need Tommy John surgery. That would be a tremendous loss for not only the Angels, but for baseball. I'm sure you would agree, Joe.
Absolutely. This happening in June really hurts baseball. They would have found a way, one way or the other, to get Ohtani onto the All-Star game, onto the AL All-Star team. And the opportunity to put him on the field in front of America on a Tuesday night in July, you know, baseball summer showcase. That would have been a great opportunity. I'm probably the more skeptical about the two-way player thing, but the fact that he's doing it at all and the fact that he's been a very good hitter and a very good pitcher, just having that ability, whether he was going to be able to sustain it long-term, but the possibility that a player might hit and pitch in the All-Star game was just really kind of exciting. And it's a loss for the game. If he has to undergo Tommy John surgery, they won't make that decision for another 3 weeks, so you likely as not are talking about him missing almost all of 2019 as well. Mm. So now you're talking about, you know, not coming back until 2020. He's basically a non-entity, and that's a shame. And at that point, you know, he'll only – remember, guys, he only made five starts in Japan last year. He had leg injuries. I want to say it was a knee and ankle. So he only started five games last year. So you would have a pitcher who basically almost didn't pitch for 3 years. He throws 75 innings from 2017 to 2019. And I wonder if this isn't going to be the thing that kind of makes us go, look, or make the Angels, I should say, go, hey, look, the two-way player thing is a nice gimmick. It's a fun story. It's exciting. But it doesn't work stateside. You're going to have to pick a lane.
How many games are the Baltimore Orioles going to lose?
Let's see, they've won 19. So what is that? 143? Can I go with that? it's a bad baseball team. And, you know, even when they were making the playoffs, you know, there were a lot of problems with it. Their offense was completely one dimensional. They had to hit a bunch of home runs just to have an average offense. The rotation was shaky. They had great bullpen work. Well, now the offense has aged. They're not hitting home runs. So now you have an offense that literally doesn't do anything. And then, you know, the bullpen, they lost Zach Britton. You know, guys like Brad Brock and Michael Givens regressed a bit. Darren O'Day finally got old after having really a very nice career with a number of teams. And there's just only so much you can do at that point. You're a bad team. One of the big stories over the next 7 weeks is going to be, where does Manny Machado land? I think there was a very good argument for the Orioles traded a year ago, and then certainly over the winter. And now they're going to be stuck trading a superstar, but when you're only trading a rental, when you're only trading 2 months of a guy, it's very hard to get full value of him with him. So, and the Orioles are basically a year behind where the Tigers were. I'd say it's probably even worse than that because they don't have as good a farm system as the Tigers do. So it's going to be ugly in Baltimore for a while.
Who would you start in the All-Star game, Verlander or Kluber?
I'd go with Kluber because he's pitched more recently, longer at this level. Verlander obviously was a great pitcher earlier in the decade, but you look at Corey Kluber over the last 3 to 4 years, and I think I'd go with Kluber. This will probably be decided by whichever guy starts on the Sunday before the All-Star game, not being eligible. But I remember writing during the 2016 postseason that, you know, Kluber was probably the third best pitcher in baseball then, and he was underrated then. And he's just been excellent since. I think Verlander's a great story, too. There was a piece, I want to say, at MLB.com maybe 2 weeks ago talking about how Verlander was worried his career was over 3 years ago. And he's gotten back and not just kind of bounced back to be a good innings guy. He's bounced back to be one of the very best pitchers in baseball, arguably the best pitcher in baseball this year. So really, really a fantastic story.
My last one for you here, Joe. Seattle, the Angels, Oakland, Atlanta, or Philadelphia, which one is still going to be around in this thing about a month from now after we have the All-Star break?
I'm going to stick with the Angels as my second AL wild card pick. The Mariners are like 83-1 in one-run games or something, some ridiculous one-run.
It has been terrible.
I don't think they'll sustain that. I think the Angels end up winning that. Even without Ohtani, I think they'll end up pulling out the wild card chase. They have to do something. You know, eventually you've got to get Mike Trout into a playoff because, I mean, he's only got 2 years left before he can be a free agent. He might start looking for the door. Seattle Angels gave me three other teams. Braves, Phillies, was it the A's?
Yeah, the A's.
Yeah, I just don't think they're as good as the two teams ahead of them. The Braves and the Phillies are interesting. The Braves, you're talking about a watchable team, guys. You know, we talked about Albies earlier. Ronald Acuna, when he comes back off the DL, Nick Markakis having the big bounce back season. They've got young starters and Sean Newcomb and Soroka when he comes back off. They got a ton of young pitchers coming through that system. I don't think they can hold off the Nationals, but I think that they can stay in this wild card race to put some pressure on the Brewers and the Cardinals deep into the season.
Joe Sheehan been joining us. And Joe, talk about, I know your newsletter, very, very popular among baseball fans out there. And tell us how you can get that.
It's the Subscription Based Blues Dinner. I've been doing it for 9 years now. You can check it out at facebook.com/SheehanNewsletter. You can also get links to my work at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. So it's facebook.com/SheehanNewsletter or on Twitter @Joe_Sheehan.
All right. Well worth it out there. Hey, Joe, appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you in a little bit here, okay?
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
3:43 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And since we've been talking baseball, why don't we just go ahead and give away our terrific prize pack that we have for this Friday's game. Colonel's game. We got a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Go along with some Colonel's baseball here for you to win today. 319-366-1600. We're going to take caller number 6. You're going to get a 24-pack of either regular or Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirt, KGYM pint glass. You're going to go to the Colonel's game this Friday, sit in box seats, a 4-pack of tickets. You're going to get a party pack per person, good for a free meal, sandwich, side, and a drink. How's that? You can't beat that.
Where do you get this, you know?
We're going to give it to caller number 6, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. You are going to get that terrific prize. Back with more after this.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, get your head in the game. This ain't no exhibition match. This is for real. You've got a house to insure, and there are no excuses because Progressive's Home Quote Explorer makes it easier than ever to get the coverage you need. Here's some music to get you pumped. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Feel that confidence. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Did I say stop saving money? No. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube. Leave worry behind.
The Home Depot has a surefire gift for Father's Day. New high-performance grills from Weber, America's top brand. Like the Weber Spirit 2 gas grill in stainless steel. Only at the Home Depot. Starting at just $449. It ignites every time, it maximizes flavor, and with a 10-year warranty, you'll be Dad's favorite for years to come. The Weber Spirit 2 gas grill starting at only $449. From America's number one Weber retailer. The Home Depot. More saving. More do it.
Happy National Corn on the Cob Day to everybody out
love
there.
Love it, love it.
Love the corn on the cob. What do you put on it? We gotta put butter on it, right? Butter, Mark?
Butter and salt, right?
Butter and salt. You pepper guy?
A pepper for sure.
Okay.
Now, do you eat it on the cob or do you cut it off?
Oh, no, you eat it on the cob.
Yeah.
It's messy, but you eat it on the cob, man.
I go both ways.
All right.
Nick, I mean, in terms of eating corn.
Thank you. Nick and Marion is the winner. He's going to go see the Colonels and get some ice cold, delicious Dr. Pepper as well. And congratulations to Nick. We'll have that coming your way the rest of the week right here on KGYM. 3:47. And we mentioned that if you like college football, we got news for you. Just when you thought it couldn't get diluted more as far as the postseason is concerned, well, apparently we were wrong. Brett McMurphy reporting, among others today, that the NCAA recommendations by the NCAA Competition Committee, they are looking to add 3 more bowl games. 3 more for the 2020 season. Not until 2020, so you know, hold your breath until then. That would put a record 43 bowl games, including the college football playoff title game, meaning that 84 of the 130 teams, something 63% of Division I FBS schools, will get to play in a bowl game coming up in 2020.
I really don't see this, see how this is going to happen, because as we mentioned earlier, the Pac-12 has decided that its member schools have to finish better than, cannot be 5-7 and go to a bowl game. And what
That's
if other
what the
conferences,
Pac-12 said.
What if other conferences do the same thing? The pool of teams eligible is going to shrink dramatically. And will there be 42 teams? Or 84 teams? I'm sorry, 84 teams eligible for bowls.
You got to think this helps the mid-major programs in football, right? Your Sun Belts.
Yeah, MAC.
MAC.
Conference USA.
Conference USA. People like that. Does this also... I'm not sure what the monetary value associated with these bowls, lower bowls, are going to be, but would this be enough to put some of the marginal 1AA / 1A teams to go and seek a 1A conference alignment, like a UNI, perhaps? If you can go to a bowl game, mm-hmm. instead of maybe getting into two out of every three out of every 4 years into a playoff, play one, two games. Not saying the UNI is going to do that every year, but do you see my point?
Of course, yeah.
Is that enough to make you want to go Division One?
In recent years, North Dakota State could play with a lot of
absolutely
Division One teams. Just ask Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Ask Kansas State.
According to McMurphy, two of the bowl games are likely slated for Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Because nothing says winter fun like a December Saturday afternoon with the wind coming off the lake.
Yeah, and the second, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The Wrigley Field matchup would evidently involve the ACC and the Big Ten, and the one in Myrtle Beach some kind of combination of Conference USA, the MAC, and the Sun Belt. The third location isn't clear, according to McMurphy, but sites showing interest are Arizona State, Charleston, South Carolina, and Greenville, North Carolina.
Some nice places there.
I think the voting is slated to be conducted tomorrow. So perhaps official word on that coming up soon.
Yeah, NCAA is expected to announce any official changes to the bowl games and tie-ins on or before July the 1st, it says. Now, we're going to have a different tie-in for the Las Vegas Bowl because of the brand-new gajillion-dollar stadium that they're building for the Raiders in Vegas. So you're going to see the Mountain West, they gone as far as that bowl is concerned.
I like bowl games as much, if not more, than the next guy. But I don't know, 5-7 Arkansas State against, you know, I just.
Okay, Iowa fans, since the Wrigley Field Bowl is going to take the Big Ten, if you're a fourth or fifth place team in the Western Division with the Hawkeyes, and there's a lovely December afternoon awaiting
you. Two of them, actually, Pinstripe and Wrigley Field.
Yeah, at Wrigley Field. You know, much closer than Yankee Stadium, mind you. But probably equally as chilly. I'm just going to say that. Does it behoove you to get a ticket to see a 6-6 Iowa team take on Boston College again in a rematch coming up?
I mean, for the novelty, maybe once.
Granted, they have yet to play the football game at Wrigley Field. Because remember, a couple years ago, they tried and it didn't work. Going to try it again coming up with Illinois and Northwestern, Wisconsin. Northwestern's playing the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe it's against Wisconsin, but I don't know. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to text in and let us know your thoughts about it on the Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600.
Well, we did have one text. We'll clean up 9763 in regards to our earlier conversation about the Belmont Stakes and Justify. Secretariat would have beaten Justify by 25 lengths.
Secretariat was one of the 100 greatest athletes of all time.
Well, I doubt it because right now Secretariat, if alive, would be 48 years old.
True.
So I don't think. But so I get it. I get where they're going there.
Prime, right? In their prime, is that what we're going for here? I would assume. I would assume that would be the case. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. I want to hear if you're heading to Wrigley Field to take in a bowl game in 2020 if Iowa is eligible. 319-366-1600. Back after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at Dupaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through Dupaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that Dupaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back on the Gym Class, KGYM, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next here this evening from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Alex, hopefully will break down his long day at Target Field doing rain delay theater on Saturday. He was up there. Got some texts on the text line. We also have the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway we need to get to.
11:21 in regards to our bowl discussion. The NFL plays in the winter and fans show up.
Not sure anyone showed up at Yankee Stadium.
1906, no way. There are too many bowls as is. 2270, I would be much more likely to go to a December game at Wrigley than I ever would go to a game in New York. I can make it there in the day and be much more affordable.
That is true.
Ryan in Walford is a diehard Cubs fan, an Iowa fan. Wrigley in December? Hell no.
I thought Ryan was going the other way on that
they
one.
They need to add six more playoff teams. Not 6-6 teams. 1906, once again, teams shouldn't be rewarded for 5-7 or 6-6 seasons. Amounts to a participation trophy.
But we give those right now. We got a poll question for you, KGYMradio.com. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast.
World Cup Soccer Men's Tournament begins Thursday. We ask you, how much attention will you pay to the World Cup without the USA? Watch as much as I can. I'll follow some. Who cares? The U.S. is not playing or couldn't care less anyway.
go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Fox is trying to put a very healthy spin on this. They have the brand new contract for the World Cup, and it was a lot of zeros, and now no American team to root for.
Trinidad and Tobago is still in it. That's my team. Well, they knocked out the USA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Mark's team right there. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Like a contract, what do?
They hold out.
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone.